Special shout out to today's episode to SeatGeek. We recently partnered with them to become a brand ambassador. What does that mean? Well, for you, it means you get a special discount when you make your first ticket purchase with SeatGeek. With my code, InjuredListPod, you will get $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is a ticket purchasing app that takes all the confusion out of buying tickets to your favorite sports, concert events, and more. They score each ticket on a scale of 1 to 10 to help you know if you're getting a good deal. Green is good, red is bad. My followers get $20 off their first ticket purchase using my code, InjuredListPod. Click on the link in the show notes and browse for your favorite events. Your next big night ever is waiting, and they have the tickets.
Fantasy Sports Corp and Underdog Fantasy have teamed up to start your fantasy season off in the win column with Best Ball. What is Best Ball? It's quite simply the easiest way to win. No team management, no trades, no waivers. It's their biggest contest ever and it has only gotten bigger. You simply have to sit and win. You don't even have to set your lineup. Always get your best score every week. Just enter a contest, draft your team, and Underdog will do the rest. What could make this even better? How about free money, up to $100 using our exclusive promo code? Go online now and use the promo code InjuredList to double your deposit up to $100. You tell them Gingerbread sent you. Good girl.
Welcome to the Injured List podcast, your source for all sports injury topics. For the weekend warrior to the sports fantasy guru, we keep you in the action and out of the injured list.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of the Injured List podcast, Brian Scott.
Hey guys, Brian Scott of the Injured List podcast, and thanks for joining us once again. You know, I think I've done about 100, maybe 110 episodes already. Probably about close to half of those are probably with guests who I've done interviews with from various sports at various different levels of play. And knock on wood, I've never screwed up a recording. I've been very lucky in that regard. I've never lost any files. But with my next guest, for some reason, I must have had a brain fart, and I forgot to hit record at the very beginning. But much like my mentor and partner, Marcus Ogden, I wanted to keep things authentic, which I always do in my interviews. And so I basically just hit record after we had gotten started with the interview. But my guest being professional and as gracious as he is, just kind of rolled along with the punches. So I have to thank Mr. Corey Jackson, today's guest, for rolling with me on that one. And I do apologize, but just to bring you up to speed, the video basically picks up right when he takes a bus and heads over to Texas to enroll in a junior college after not really sure what he was going to do after high school. Keep in mind, Corey was a basketball and track player, had no aspirations of playing football, let alone playing professional football. But as you'll hear him tell his story, things didn't quite work out the way they were supposed to. But I think if you stick around till the end and you hear what he's up to now, you'll realize that things happen for a reason, and he's probably exactly where he belongs. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Injured List, Mr. Corey Jackson.
And I said, okay, let's do something different. And I purchased a one-way bus ticket to school, Ranger College out in Texas. And I never looked back. You know, I got on that bus, terrified, 19 years old, hopped on that bus, went 2 days across the country, got to this little town, and went to the payphone and called a coach. He has no idea who I am. No clue. And so I'm on the phone with this man, just telling him who I am and what I was doing. And he's thinking that I'm a kid that wanted to get recruited. So he's telling me, hey, just send me some film in and I'll take a look at it. And I was like, man, I'm at the bus station. I need a ride, you know. And the guy kind of went silent on me. So I'm thinking, like, this guy's going to hang up. And then finally he says, well, how big are you? At the time, I was about 6'5", you know, so I said, man, I'm 6'8". I knew that there wasn't a college coach in America that's going to leave a 6'8 basketball player at the bus station. I knew he was going to at least come.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, those extra couple inches are huge.
Yeah. So the guy came and picked me up, and he was very, very honest. He said, man, I don't have any scholarship money. I have 25 basketball players. I don't even know what I'm going to do with all of these basketball players. The best I can do for you is take you to the admissions office, see if they can get you in the school, and then you have to figure it out from there. So I said, okay. You know, I go in there. They figured out how to get me in the school. And at this point, I'm trying to just decide, like, what's the next step? And I walk out of the admissions office, and the gym, I see the gym about 100 yards away. So I just walk down to the gym. I said, well, at least I'll just watch the guys play, you know. And I go in. I'm sitting there watching the guys play. And probably about 3 or 4 games go by, and then the coach walks up and say, hey, man, the guys are just playing pickup. It's free play. So, you know, if you want to play the next game, feel free. You know, I said, OK. And sure enough, the next game starts and I'm on the court literally less than 30 seconds. And a guy on my team shoots this horrible, awkward looking 3-point shot. And only thing I could think of is just like, man, let's go get the rebound, you know. And so I run in to go get the rebound. It's 3 other guys fighting for position. The ball hits the back of the rim, bounces up. I jump. These guys jump. And it was a perfect bounce, man. It bounced directly, like, in front of me. And I catch it, slam it back in. These guys fall to the floor. I'm swinging on the rim. The coach runs out and said, hey, man, I don't know why you came here, but I'm glad you did.
That sounds like a scene from a movie.
It felt like a movie. It felt like a movie. But it changed my life. It changed my life. It showed me what you can do. Like, I always compare it to, Brian, you remember when we were kids, like, you'd be on the playground and you're playing a sport, whether it's basketball or football, and they have to pick teams. So you have these 2 team captains. It felt like that, you know. I was the person that didn't get picked, you know, and I'm like, man, you know, and for me, that never happened. Like, I was never the odd person out. And so what I realized in that situation, in that scenario, is you can pick yourself. You can get your own ball, start your own game, and pick yourself. And that's what that moment taught me. And that stayed with me forever. Like I always, even right now, when I have tough times or things don't go right, I always remember those moments. It's like, no, you have to pick yourself. They may not understand your business model. They may not understand your offering, but you have to find a way to pick yourself. And so from there, Brian, stayed at that school for 2 years, became one of the top junior college basketball players in the state of Texas, earned a scholarship at the University of Nevada, where I became one of the top rebounders in the nation. Thought I was going to the NBA. I was on the path. My senior year, didn't get drafted. Went out to the summer league, played, didn't get picked up. And so I had offers to go to Europe, but I couldn't get excited about it. It was one of those things where it was just like, man, I really can't get excited about going to play basketball in Europe when I always wanted to play in the NBA. Yeah. And so I decided to figure out how to stall. I said, well, I'm not going to make any decisions right now. And so what I decided was, I had more school left. I had another semester. I said, well, I'm just going to go back to school, finish my degree, and, you know, figure it out. And so when I get back on campus, one of the football coaches came and found me and said, hey, man, I'm sorry you didn't make it into the NBA, but I think you've been playing the wrong sport.
Yeah, of course he's going to say that.
And I was like, what? So the guy said, man, you should try football. You have a 5th year, you know, just try it. Brian, I go out, try football. I don't do anything significant, right? I played 12 plays. right? The coach is trying to figure out where to play me. They try me at tight end. They try me at defensive end, special team. They're just trying me in different places. You know, I'm the athletic basketball guy, so they just try me in different places.
Yeah, you'll work anywhere, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll make it work.
and so the crazy thing is, nothing really significant happened. So after the season, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to go back and decide if I'm going to go to Europe or not. And one day I'm in my apartment and my phone ring and it's one of the coaches. And it was like, man, you need to get up here to the facility right now. It's like, we got 30 NFL scouts up here asking about you. And so they were going to do the pro day, which I was really not expecting, you know, like, why am I doing pro day, you know? And so I went up there and it was all of these scouts, man. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And they knew who I was. They knew who I was. They literally had watched basketball film. Okay. And so they wanted to see me work out. I said, sure. You know, I go and I do the workout. And at the end of the workout, like these same scouts, they were all excited to see me work out. They literally just walked off and never said anything else. And so I'm thinking like, oh, I must have blew it, right? But as I'm walking off the field, my phone starts ringing. And it's an agent. And the guy says, hey, man, I just heard you killed it in your workout, you know. And I hang up with this guy and then more agents are calling. And now my phone's just going bananas. And I'm like, what is going on? Now, that really felt like a movie. Like that part really felt like a movie. Yeah. And sure enough, you know, the draft came, ended up signing with the Cleveland Browns. One of the most exciting moments of my life. Obviously, super unexpected. But it changed my life. Like I said, like this whole experience changed my life because it helped me realize what we're capable of, you know, because we don't have the answers, Brian. Like we don't have the answers. All we can do is put our all into something.
Yeah.
And once you put your all into something, something's going to happen from that. Right. So my all was into basketball. But because the football coaches saw how I played basketball, it made them feel like, hey, we need to offer this guy an opportunity to play football. And then once the scouts saw me, it was the same thing. It's like, man, we see potential in this person. Let's offer him a chance to play in our league. And so that's how life works, is just we have to make sure that we're giving all we have. And then things are going to transpire that's out of our control. But good things are always going to happen.
No, it's a great story, dude. And I'll tell you, those scouts, man, they salivate when they hear there's a basketball player that's making the transition to football, because they're like, well, we know he's got to be somewhat athletic. He's raw. We can kind of mold him to that position player we need or want. And he's healthy because he hasn't been doing the rough and tumble banging associated with football for all these years. So they know they got like a potential, you know, nugget, gold nugget there in the mind. Like, so, yeah, I'm not surprised that they were like lighting your phone up after that workout. You probably felt like you didn't do anything, and maybe you didn't, but man, once they heard, like, hey, who is this guy? Corey Jackson? Yeah. Basketball? 6'6"? What? Never played football? Oh, they love that. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
So that's awesome. Now, take us through your NFL experience. How was it? I mean, you bounced around a little bit. You were kind of practice squad player a little bit. Got a chance, though, to play some games at the pro level. How was it, you know, working with the coaches and the medical staff and all that stuff? Because unfortunately, you did succumb to the injury bug, which most guys do. Can you take us through that a little bit?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. And I'll tell you why. So I started off with the Cleveland Browns. My first year, they put me on the practice squad. And I went through that experience just learning and understanding how to be a pro and, you know, how things work and all that good stuff. At the end of that season, which was 2003, at that time they had NFL Europe. And so they wanted to send me to NFL Europe along with a bunch of other guys. And Brian, I didn't want to go. I was like, man, I don't want to go to Europe. I didn't want to go play basketball in Europe. I definitely don't want to go play football in Europe. And so I didn't want to go because I wanted to stay and work with my coach. I had a fantastic coach, Andre Patterson, one of the best D-line coaches that's out there, hands down. And I wanted to stay and work with him. And they just said, no, we need to see you play. And I'll be honest with you, Brian, like I had a lot of things to overcome because technically I didn't have the technical skills for football. You know, I had athletic ability, but technical footwork and skills that go with how you play certain techniques and all that stuff. I didn't have all of that. Yeah. And so I used to get laughed at by my teammates because I used to get in the wrong stance. And like, it was just crazy. They used to laugh at me all the time. But I'll tell you one of the defining moments for me where so the guys that are going to Europe, we all train together. And so we're all training, getting ready to go to Europe. And, you know, like guys doing a locker room, everyone's talking about what they're going to do when they get to Europe, how well they're going to play and all this stuff. And I don't know why I said this, Brian. But I said, man, I want to lead my team in sacks, and I want to be the defensive MVP of the league. And these guys just burst out laughing. They was like, man, what are you talking about, man? You could barely get in a stance, man. What are you talking about? And so we end up going over to Europe. We played 10 games over there. At the end of those 10 games, I had 9.5 sacks, led my team in sacks, and I ended up being a defensive player, MVP of the league, nice. And led my team to the World Bowl.
Nice.
I'm extremely competitive, man. Like I know that I can do it, right? Like I know I can make it happen. And when we were over there, I was locked in, you know, a lot of guys were partying, having a good time. And I was just like, no, man, this is my career. I'm going to take it seriously. And I wanted to prove those guys wrong as well.
Sure.
And that experience changed everything. Cause when I came back to the States, it was a wrap. Like the coach was like, are you on the team? Like we, you know, it wasn't no more practice squad or being on the bubble. It was like you went out and performed. Yeah. And that's how I made that 2004 team.
Nice.
Just by going out and just putting it all on the line. And so that experience was really amazing. What really kind of lit a fire under me from just a business perspective is once I got to the league and I saw how volatile it was and I saw how cutthroat it was, right? What we don't think about as kids when we're watching sports is the business of the game itself. Yeah. And so you think it's going to be this, you know, you playing with your teammates, you're having a great time, you're making tons of money. But the truth is your product. And because you're a product, you have a shelf life. And the minute you're not, you know, productive enough or they don't believe you are capable enough, then you don't have a job anymore. Mm-hmm. And I had a coach just put it to me as plain as day, man. We were in practice one day. And at this point, I'm a coach favorite, man. They're excited about my upside and what I can do. And he called me over and said, hey, come on over here, big fella. Let me talk to you. He's talking to me. He says, listen, look over there. And I look over there and it's a bunch of my teammates. And it was a bunch of guys that were, you know, trying to make the team. And he said, you see those guys over there? He said, they're big, but they can't run like you. He said, so they're not going to be here. But the minute you become big and can't run, you're not going to be here either. And I mean, it was just a real moment. He was just letting me know, like, you know, this is not, you know, a situation that's going to last forever. Yeah. You know, you have to plan for the future. And when you're young, you don't want to think about that. You don't want to think about, you know, not being able to do the thing you love to do. But that kind of shaped my perspective. I started my first business, my second year in the league. I think I was 25 years old. Nice. And I was focused on figuring me out, like, what is it I want to do and who I want to be as a professional? Because once I saw how fast this league turns over players, I was like, I have to be prepared and I have to use this platform while I have it to be able to build great business relationships. And that's what I sought out to do.
Yeah, that's a great point you make about the turnover. I don't think people really understand it until you've kind of lived through it and been kind of behind the scene, which is why I love the HBO football special that they put on,
Hard Knocks.
Because it actually does take you through that and show it quite realistically how things work.
And it humanizes the players too, because sometimes I think fans don't look at players as humans. In the same sense as everyone else, right? You think these guys are, you know, this indestructible people, and they're making tons of money, and you know, everything is perfect in their lives, and you realize that it's not. It's a lot of pressure. It's the type of pressure that most people will never experience. You know, every time you step onto the field, it's an audition. You know, whether it's your first year or your 10th year, right? Like you're only as good as your last game. And so it's a lot of pressure to come with that. And you have to mentally figure out how to navigate that pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. And, you know, you see these, I mean, I think it's really hard for people who are not involved in sport or athletics or haven't really been at a certain level where to understand just how players who are 6'6", 6'7", 300 pounds can be so easily just tossed to the side as if there's like another guy that big waiting in the wings. But in reality, there is. There's actually quite a few guys lining up right behind him that are just as much motivated to take his spot and be able to do what he can do on a daily basis in practice and in games. And, you know, like, yes, those people aren't walking around all over the place. You don't see them out in public per se. But when you get a focused, concentrated group of guys all trying to make the same goals, you'll quickly see how indisposable some of them are when you have a good guy that you know you're going to sign and stuff. So, yeah, the business side of things still, even to this day, I feel like you don't really quite grasp it unless you've lived through it or experienced it firsthand. So,
yeah, I'll tell you one of the things, too, that really kind of opened my eyes. So when I got there, Tuesdays would be our day off.
Yeah.
And so they would encourage us to kind of stay out the building and that type of thing. But what they were doing, you know, on Tuesday, they bringing in guys off the street, working them out, you know, and you might be hanging with your family or just relaxing, excuse me, thinking, you know, hey man, I'll be ready for, you know, work tomorrow. And, but they're trying to see if there's someone that can replace you. And, you know, it's a revolving door.
Yeah.
You need a lot of things to go right to be successful. Like the reason why I have so much confidence in business is because I played sports. You know, and I played on a high level and I understand how many things you need to go right to have a successful career.
Yeah.
Business is nowhere near that tough.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near that tough. Like it's tough, but it's not that tough. You know, you need to stay healthy. You have to be at the right team. You have to be playing the right position. You have to be in the right, you know, if the coaches have to have the foresight to put you in the right positions to be like, it's a lot of moving parts that can derail someone from being successful in sports that don't exist in business. And so the confidence in business is through the roof because I'm like, man, I know I can play this game. I don't have to get hit. I don't have to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I can use my mind and my relationships and all these things. And so it's just a, you know, for me, sports made it easier to transition into business.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of factors in sports that are just out of your control. I mean, there's only so much you can do to try and sway how things are going to play out. But in business, a lot more of those factors, you can kind of guide and steer how you want the outcomes to be, which is great. And so, like you said, if you were able to get through the pressures of sport and all the ups and downs that are associated with it, both mentally and physically, you know, transitioning to business just kind of makes sense, right?
For sure. For sure. And it's, I always tell athletes, man, like you have to understand that there's a lot of intangible things that you take with you in business, but business and sports are not the same, right? It's similarities, but it's not the same. So in business, if I make a bad decision with my business, it may take me a while to recover from that, right? Like if I make a bad play on the football field, the next play, I can get a sack fumble or, you know, like I can impact the game right then, right? And so you have to have a level of patience in business that doesn't necessarily you don't necessarily have in sports because you get right back on the field, right? You like, boom, I'm right back. And so I always tell guys that because that's one of the most discouraging things about business is that sometimes it takes a little longer to get a result when in sports you can get a result right now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So the title of the podcast is The Injured List. We talk about injuries. So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask if you had any experience in that realm during your athletic career.
Yeah. And,
how you dealt with that.
I've definitely have multiple injuries. The main injury I had that kind of derailed me when I was in Denver was a hip injury. And later on, after my career, I found out I actually had a fractured hip. Ooh. And didn't know it. Wow. And so I was playing with a fractured hip. But that injury, like going through that experience, that's what kind of shakes you to say, hey, man, you know, it's, you know, this is a finite thing. Like you can't, you know, escape, you know, the experience of, you know, not being available. At some point, you're not going to be available. And so that injury was one of the ones I wish I could have back, not the injury itself, but how I handled that injury, because I wasn't aware of, you know, what was fully going on with me. And it took basically, you know, a few years off my career because of that.
Yeah, the hip injuries are nothing to mess around with. And when you're talking about a hip fracture in particular, many a career have ended because of them. Probably most famously Bo Jackson's injury, especially when you're talking about football. Some, but not many guys have been able to bounce back from stuff like that, but it's far and few between. It's a significant thing to do.
Yeah, with. It's tough. It injures itself. It's tough. I have, you know, both Achilles ruptured, quad tendon, rupture. And so I've had some surgeries, for sure. I think injuries is one of those things, Brian, that really tests your mental capacity. You know, it's just a will, you know, like I want to get better. I'm going to work hard as possible. And the first injury is the easiest one. But when it happens again and again, now mentally you're like, man, can I do this again? Like, can I put as much work and energy and effort into getting better once again? And then also your confidence, your confidence in your body, because when you're growing up as an athlete, you have the ultimate confidence in your body. Yeah. The ultimate, like, I mean, before I had any injuries, I could do anything.
Yeah.
Run, jump, flip, whatever, right? Like, I could do it all. And then you started to question all of that.
Yeah.
It's like, man, if I jump, am I going to tear something? Like, you know, you start like in the back of your mind saying, hey, man, this something's not right. And you have to find a way to build that confidence back.
Yeah, that psychological component is really difficult. I mean, like being an athletic trainer back in the day when I started my career out, you know, watching the guys come into the training room, it becomes almost like a psychological clinic in there. Almost you see the guys kind of go through those mood swings and the depression that sets in early on. And then you kind of watch and try to help kind of guide them and steer them in the right direction and try to stay positive with them. And so, yeah, I've seen that firsthand, man. It's tough. And that for a lot of guys, that's the biggest challenge.
It is. I mean, you have guys that are completely healed and are convinced that they're not. I mean, and you're like, man, no, like the trainers are saying, hey, man, you're clear. Like, there's nothing wrong with you anymore. And they're like, no, I'm telling you, I can't do it. And then once they make that psychological turn, then they kind of snap back into the groove. But it's tough.
Yeah. So I have to apologize at the beginning. Actually, you know, I've done like 100 episodes of my podcast, maybe more, probably close to half, maybe have been interviews. I forgot to hit record at the beginning, but I'm not going to go back and redo it, because the whole thing with this show is we stay authentic. We keep it real, casual conversation. I don't script any of this, so I'm not going to hit record again and start over. You didn't miss much at the beginning. Corey told us a little bit about his upbringing, his background. Born in South Carolina, didn't really know what he was going to do coming out of high school, was a basketball player, hoped to be in the NBA, didn't quite work the way he wanted it to, was able to find a junior college in Texas that took him under their wing. He excelled there and got a chance to play at the University of Nevada, where he ended up going back to school after he graduated for an extra semester and got picked up by the football team, and the rest is kind of history. So that's what you missed, kind of the short version. I do apologize to my listeners and to Corey, didn't want to have to do that, but my mistake. The first time I've done that, actually. Which,
it happens. Now, it definitely happens.
So, you know, I always give my guests a chance to talk about some of their projects and things that they've done outside of the world of sport, because, you know, the time that they spend in their professional athletic career is a very short window of time in their entire lives and their careers. And while it's cool to hear about and it's exciting, it doesn't really define who they are as a person and what they've done in their life. So you are no exception to that rule. You've been a business owner. You're currently the CEO of your own company, Quirks. Quirks, yes. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Take us through how that got started and what that's all about.
Yeah. So I'm the CEO of Quirks, and how it started simply, Brian, is I wanted to help my friends. So what happened was, once my career was over, I started speaking professionally. And so I was traveling, speaking, building tons of relationships, connecting with companies. And guys that were behind me that were still in the league would hit me up and just ask questions about, how things are going and, what they should be thinking about. And then I naturally just kind of started matching them with my relationships, companies that I knew, and saying, hey, this guy wants to learn more about your company. And I realized this was a need. And so initially, I started it off, the company, as kind of this network where athletes could not only connect with businesses and companies, but they connect with each other and work and collaborate and do different projects and things of that nature. But what we learned over time was people were really more interested in finding that opportunity from a career standpoint than just kind of doing all of these one-off projects. And so that kind of led us to kind of like streamline things where we're directly connecting athletes with businesses and career opportunities. And then from there, Brian, honestly, like we kind of transitioned into somewhat of a full service recruiting firm, like by accident, by accident. I had no desire to be in recruiting, and it was just a kind of a progression where our clients were saying, hey, can you help us with this? Or can you help us with that? And we just kind of started growing that way. And it kind of led us up to where we are now, where we're doing a lot of recruiting and placements, but we're also helping companies from a consulting standpoint with hiring and how they build teams out. This is an amazing space, Brian, by the way. So the company's turnover, for the last, I want to say, year, companies have spent $1.6 trillion on turnover. Trillion.
I believe it, because I work in healthcare and it's crazy.
And so what we discovered was a lot of these companies don't understand how to hire. Like literally how to hire the right person. They don't understand it. And so what we did was say, we took an approach just like you would take from a sports team. And you say, well, here's how you build a team from the locker room out, right? You want to understand how to put a group of people together that can actually work together. Can Brian and Corey work together, be productive, and like each other, right? like it's that simple. But what companies have been doing is they're just putting together these big groups of people, and they haven't did any evaluation to say, how do these people work together? How do their personalities fit? How do their behaviors fit? Do they have what it takes to actually work together? And so we've been helping companies with that from a consulting standpoint. It's like, here's how you build a team. And then, by the way, companies don't seem to understand that their employees should be happy, right? And so when you hear about burnout and you hear about stress and all these things, it's typically because you have employees working in an environment where they don't like each other. If think about this, if you like the people you work with, you're not likely going to burn out because you guys are going to support each other differently. Yeah. Right. I could see, like, oh, Brian's having some trouble today. Let me check in on him. Let's see, can I help Brian with this? But if I don't like you, right, I'm like, hey, I don't have anything to do with that, right? Let Brian figure it out for himself. And so companies haven't figured this out. And so we've been helping them with that. And it's a very important big space, and so we're really excited to be able to use some of the concepts that I learned as an athlete under different leadership, under different, like, plan for different GMs, and like how you put people together, even with teams within teams. Like, some people in a work environment should never work together. They may be with the same company, but they should never be in the same group and working on the same project.
Yeah.
And companies don't seem to notice. And then also helping companies understand how to incentivize good behavior, right? I went into a department store, and I go into this department store, and what I realized when I go in there, you know how a department store is set up, you got these different registers in these different parts of the department store.
Yes.
And so these individuals are getting commission on the checkouts, right? And so I'm in the department store, and I hear these two employees like just really like frustrated and talking about another employee. And what I realized was what the other employees were doing, where they were floating around where they didn't have anyone at their register, and they were kind of recruiting people over to their register, like, hey, let me check you out. You need some help? And people will look at that and say, hey, that person or those people are not good employees, or they don't have good morals. But that's not the case. The company is incentivizing bad behavior, right? Like, so the company is incentivizing you to go and get paid off of these commissions versus incentivizing a collective behavior or collaborative behavior, where if we all get a certain amount of checkouts, then we all get a certain bonus or some type of structure that makes sense for us from an incentive standpoint. But companies miss the mark on this so much. And so we've been having a great time helping companies with this, because we see the importance of how to grow teams, how to build teams, and literally how to use this experience as a professional athlete to be able to help companies understand how to put people together.
Oh man, you don't even want to go into healthcare. I could tell you so many things wrong about that industry that have just kind of gone downhill over the years since I've been doing, I've been doing this since 2001. So, we could talk for hours about that, but that'll be another show. Corey, we've got a lot to talk about off the air. I think I might be able to help you out with some stuff that your company does, and we'll talk about that later. I'm not going to get into that now, but I want to thank you for coming on, and we're going to have all of your information, links to all of your websites and your company's website as well, in the show notes, in the description section there. So if you guys have any questions, or if you want to reach out to Corey, I will have all of his information in the show notes. So I usually end the conversation with a question or two about just some random things. So I'm going to just kind of do like a quick little 30-second thing here, quick rapid fire kind of question thing. And, you know, feel free to deflect or pass. But most memorable NFL moment for you in your career?
Yeah. First game, playing against Green Bay Packers. Coach tells me, hey, you're going to get in probably third quarter, fourth quarter, maybe. First quarter, he grabs me by the shoulder pads and throws me onto the field. I can't find my helmet, first of all. So I'm like, man, where's my helmet? Get out on the field, Brian. Just as they're like getting ready to snap the ball, I'm like, what's the play? What's the play? They tell me to play. And Brian, I had this amazing, like someone shot me out of cannon, man. I shot the gap. I'm in the backfield as the running back is taking the handoff. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, I had to be off sides, man. That was crazy. Like, and I hesitated for like a half a second, and the running back just took off, man. It was just, and all I could see on the sidelines, the coach doing like this, shaking his head.
Get off.
Come on back. Yep. Come on back. Come sit down. That's it.
I'm sure that's happened to many a player before and since.
But the guy told me I wasn't going to play. He said I was going to play the third quarter. I wasn't ready.
You always got to be ready. Any most memorable teammate or favorite teammate or somebody you still kind of keep in touch with today?
I play with so many characters, man. Like, I mean, as you can imagine, Brian, like in the locker room, man, guys are just hilarious in general. But I don't know. I think, you know, I'll take it back to college. One of the teammates that I you know, always see all the time now because he does so much is Nate Burleson. Okay. And just kind of seeing him in his career and how he's doing in the media is amazing. So, and he's a funny guy and very talented. So it's always good to see him.
Nice. Best player that you've seen on the field in person, up front, or that you've gone against, who would you say was probably one of the toughest opponents or best players you've played against?
Well, just seeing in real life, man. I mean, I was in Denver with Champ Bailey. Guy's amazing. One of my first games was against New England Patriots with prime Tom Brady, you know. So obviously that was, you know, an amazing person to kind of witness up close and personal, play against Peyton Manning as well. Quite a few for sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us, Corey, on the Injured List podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Corey Jackson, former NFL player, current CEO, owner of his own company, Quirks. I'll have all the information again in the show notes. Corey, thanks for joining us here on the Injured List podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, I screwed up at the beginning. That's so stupid. I never do.
This is the Injured List podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Are you interested in being a guest on the show? Or do you know someone who would make a good guest? Want Brian Scott to be on your show? If so, share the podcast with your friends or drop us a line and we will get back to you right away. Email us at theinjuredlist411@gmail.com or visit our website at www.theinjuredlist.com.